Good morning. I trust each of you is doing well on this February Sunday. It just seems like yesterday we're starting the new year, and now we're already into the month of February, which is, as we can see, kind of a transitioning month. So on Friday, it looked like we had spring, and then yesterday it looked like we have the autumn season, fall season. So it's just like this, the weather is changing, but in every season, God is faithful. We are praying for this transition. As most of you know, tomorrow, almost all the schools in Romania will be reopened, and I'm sure many of the kids will be happy for change. They'll be happy to go to school, and we are praying for protection and for them to learn good things, hopefully. And we pray for the teachers. We pray for all of those involved in the educational system, and may God give strength to the parents. And I hope people adjust well. There will be more traffic in the mornings. There will be some of these things that we know in Bucharest, they're not always easy to deal with, like busyness and extra traffic, but God is good in every season. And let's continue to pray that God will give wisdom to all the leaders. And as things unfold in Romania, in EU, in America, in Asia, in Myanmar, which is going through a very difficult time right now, in UK, that God will protect people, that God will give wisdom to the leaders. And our role is, you know, the Bible doesn't say you have to really like your leaders, but it does say we have to pray for them. It's so easy to be unhappy with the decisions or choices that leaders, governmental leaders make, or our other type of leaders. But let's pray, let's ask God for strength, for wisdom, and we believe that God will watch over us as we transition, and we hope for, not just for looking forward to spring, but we are looking forward to better days, for more freedom, for more interaction in our community and everything that we do. And if in this season we can be of some assistance to you, if you have some questions about what's going on in Romania or about what it's applicable in terms of rules, in terms of the guidelines right now, please feel free to reach out to us. And, you know, please find a way to connect with other people. And this is what we try to do, because church is not just about an event. Whether we meet in person or we meet online or do a broadcast, it's a 24/7 network of relationships. When we pray for each other, when we intercede for the city, when we reach out to people, and when we proclaim the gospel of Christ, because there is power in it. Hallelujah. So it's great that many of you are connected. Even this morning, as we were worshiping God through our songs, I saw some people writing, you know, greeting each other, and some people are gathered in the small groups, watching together, praying together. It's great. It's being community regardless of circumstances. Hallelujah. And we hope more and more people will choose to do so. I want to read a passage of scripture to you. And if I may say so, be ready to be blown away. Not by my sermon, even though God can use imperfect things, the Spirit can use imperfect things, but I'm going to read a passage from the Word of God that is really blowing me away. I've been reading a few times over the last few weeks, and it gets me every time, and I hope will get me every time, regardless of how many times I'll read it and reread it. So let's open our hearts, most of all, and let's be ready to read. If you want to follow along, I'm reading from Romans 12, starting in verse 9. I'm using the NIV translation, but whatever translation you have, I'm sure God will use it to speak to you. Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's an amazing passage. And I don't know what is your response, what is your reaction as you listen to this passage from the Word of God. But as I listen to this, I feel mixed feelings, mixed thoughts. On one hand, it's like, wow, how beautiful. On the other hand, I feel like, wow, how unattainable. Who can live like this? And this is why I entitled the message today, Mission Impossible, Living Like Christ. And some of you may say, what do you mean Mission Impossible? Are you saying it's impossible to do so? Not so fast. You know, because even for those of you who are, you know, moviegoers and you know the series, Mission Impossible, which is turned to be kind of like a science fiction type of series, you know that the idea is that this group of people, you know, they have these missions that seem to be impossible, and they are impossible for most people, but somehow they manage to get them accomplished. But what I'm talking about is not a movie. You know, it's real life, and it's more important. Because to try to live these things, to try to live according to the standards, according to these commandments, according to these parameters, whatever you want to call them, it's impossible at a human level. So some of you may say, wait a second, Pastor Christie, is like you're reading a passage of Scripture, and then you're telling us it's impossible to live it, it's impossible to obey it. Yes and no. What I'm trying to say, and it's very clear, it's impossible to live it in our own strength. It's impossible to live it from a human point of view, at a human level. With normal resources, with our normal temperaments, with our normal abilities, it's impossible. But thank God that's not all life is. Life is not just about our abilities, about our temperaments, about our endowments. It's so much more than that. Because praise God, we have a Lord and Savior who has entered our world, and he's not just philosophical, he's not just a God and a Savior at a human, at a philosophical level, at a mind level, at an ontological level. He is all of those, but he's personal. He has stepped into each and every one of our lives and hearts, into the very being of who we are, and he started a process of transformation. And when we are committed to this plan and we are cooperant with the Holy Spirit that is doing this work on behalf of God, on behalf of the Trinity, just like Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. There will be a helper, a parakletos, Holy Spirit, who will teach you, who will explain to you, who will remind you of what I said. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is reminding us that God has given us this way to live, this way to represent him. And so often, and we know from the history of Christianity, that we see that sometimes people who bear this name, Christians, and let me be clear, I'm talking about us. We often, when we talk about Christians who are not living the way that God would want them to live, or Christians who are not doing a very good job representing Christ, we sometimes think of other people, people from other denominations, people from other churches, people from across the street, people that we used to know, or people from, I don't know, traditional, mainline denomination, whatever we want to call them. But we all, each follower of Christ, there is a Peter inside of us. And what I mean, yes, on one hand, he's a great apostle of God, and we know how God used him mightily, like on the day of Pentecost and many other times. And he, like the church tradition teaches us, he was willing to die for Christ and suffer for him till the very end. But on the same degree, by the same token, Peter sometimes did a lot of things that are not right. And I'm not just referring to his life before Pentecost. Yes, we know how he betrayed Christ. We know how he said some silly things to Christ, even sometimes minutes or seconds after he was used by Holy Spirit. But even later, we see in the epistles, like in the book of Galatians and other times, that at times he was not the stellar leader he needed to be. And I'm not putting him down. No, he was an amazing man of God. But I'm saying that we can learn from him, that he wasn't perfect, but God perfected him. And that's what God wants to do to each and every one of us. And too many times we look at a passage like this and say, yeah, well, that would be nice to live like this, to have sincere life, to be patient affliction, to be joyful in hope, you know, to bless those who persecute us, and some of the other things. But who can do this? Maybe some really holy people, maybe somebody who has followed Christ for 40, 50 years, somebody who is not busy with life, who doesn't have many responsibilities, maybe some monks living somewhere in the woods, maybe they can live like this. No, that's not the approach. This is not what the Bible is teaching. This is the plan. This is normative for all followers of Christ. But how can we live such lives? I'm glad you asked, because I keep asking myself this question. I've been preparing for this passage and this message for a few weeks. From December, God has spoken to me about this, and I'm like, God, but how can we, you know, because I know many people, even our community, we would want to be part of this. And many times we are hurt and we are disappointed that we are not living like this. We are disappointed that other people are not living like this towards us. And sometimes, if we're honest, we're disappointed that we don't live like this towards other people. So let's look at this passage. But again, let's look at it in the wider context. We know this passage is from Romans 12, and we've been preaching from Romans 12 lately, and we have seen what God wants to do. And we have seen that Romans 12, it's kind of like the new beginning after the first 11 chapters of Romans, who talk to us about these chapters, about the whole story of God, of how God brought Christ to us, because everyone, regardless of background, of education, of race, of religious affiliation, everybody has fallen and fell short of the glory of God and was away from God. And God didn't want to just leave this chasm, this separation between us, his creation, and him. So he sent Christ to build a bridge that was only possible to be built from God's side towards us. And he restored us, and he loved us while we were still sinners. And he brought us back to life for those of us who believe in him, who confess in our hearts and with our mouths, who believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And he is redeeming us, and we are no longer under condemnation, but following the Holy Spirit, we now have hope. And through that whole process, God is restoring us. And because of that, we are exhorted, we are taught to bring our whole life, our bodies, like a living sacrifice, not to kill ourselves, not to try to impress God, but to make a holistic, a complete effort to follow him. And that leads us to a transformed mind through the Holy Spirit, not just a self-help type of approach, not just an illumination from good books or from good company. Yes, those things are good, but they are paling in comparison to knowing Christ and being illuminated and allowing him to change us. And when we do that, you know, our whole life is changed, and we're able to discern and follow God's will. And God's will is this, for us to live like this, you know. And there is no doubt, and it's not the only passage in Scripture. You know, in other passages that the Holy Spirit passed on to us through Paul, like in Galatians or Ephesians, we see the same kind of exhortation. We see in Peter's teaching that we are taught to unite our faith with our behavior, and until we all grow, until we can have this kind of life of love for everyone. So this is consistently the message of the gospel. So this is not just for a few. This is not just for some illuminated people or for some more elite or so, or those who are initiated. This is for every follower of Christ. And in a few minutes, I do want to look at some of these commandments, and they are so important, some of these parameters. And actually, we could take a sermon for like each verse, or sometimes each line in each verse, because they are so important and what is shared here. But first, I want to remind you of some of the things of how this process of renewal works in our lives. Because we are all in a cycle of life. We are all going in a way or another and trying to master the human experience. And sometimes the human experience, as we often see, can be like a black vicious circle. When we try, when we fail often, when we deal with disappointments, with failures, we try to get up, maybe we get up, maybe not. But then some of us have the gift of life. And for those who receive the gospel, you know, the moment of the cross puts us on a new, we can start on a new journey. And for some believers, this journey, it's a journey of life and a new trajectory, a spiral up. Or for other believers, unfortunately, it's a different kind of vicious circle. It's not the vicious circle that unbelievers have. It's wider, it's bigger, it has more life, more light in it, but it's not the kind of life that God wants us to have, that kind of abundancy, that life of joy, that life of representing Him. It's much better than not knowing Christ, but it's not the fruitful life. It's not the 30, 40, 60, 100-fold fruitful life that Jesus wants for us. And I know it may seem like an oversimplification, but this is what happens, you know. And in life, if we don't live the new life of Christ, that we have learning in Christ, we are going backwards according to the pattern of the world, you know. And we have seen that Christ has put us in a body, you know, in the body of Christ, in the church, in which we can give and receive according to the giftings, according to the passion of everyone. And if I am to further try to illustrate this, and I hope it's going to help some of you. We start life, our spiritual life, and we have this moment when we know Christ, where Christ finds us. He searches for us, and we respond. We open our hearts to Him. We open our minds, and this is how renewal starts, and we have this new joy that Christ brings to us. And I will just use the initial from Christ, Christ in everything, Christ the hope of glory. And I'm going to try to use like the baseball diamond, you know, like how the process of life works. And from this, you know, we go here, and from Christ, we have a renewed mind. We have transformation, renewal, transformation. The new life that He brings to us leads to a second base, when we are now being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that is not just about learning a few things, learning a few verses, learning a couple of theological ideas. It's about being upgraded, a whole operating system becoming that of Christ. And from that point, and again, we could take more time to each of this, but then we move on, and we have this a third base, so to speak, which is the new body, the church, that God, for this new life that we have in Him, He's placing us in the church, a place where we can grow, a place where we can serve, a place where we can receive, a place, a community, an embassy, a representation of God's kingdom onto the earth, you know, in a city, in a community. And in that way, we are known as followers of Christ, as His church, as His people. And we can see this in Romans 12, you know. We see in the first chapters how we needed Christ, why we needed Christ, and how Christ has worked in us. But then we see, because of Christ, in light of that, we are to dedicate ourselves so we can be transformed. And then we are placed in a new body, the church, so we can really live this new life, because you cannot live a life without a body, without the support, without the structure. You know, just like in our physical body, if in our physical life, if our body don't work right, then it doesn't work right, then we are very limited in what we can do. Okay, moving further down here, now, like this will be fourth base, and this is like the new life, the new conduct, you know. This is what we have now in Christ. When we do this, when we have a renewal, when we are being transformed into His likeness, when we really connect with the body of believers, when we receive and give, when we serve, when we represent Christ, then we can live like Christ. Then we can live like we just read in Romans 12. And only then, because otherwise, like I said earlier, it would be a futile attempt in our human strength, in our human power, in our human emotions and thoughts. And yes, those efforts can be helpful to a certain degree. That's why religious people sometimes can be of help, in the sense that they do some nice things, they do some good things. But religion, in the sense of human rules and human attempts to know God and to follow God, it's not enough. We need this touch from God. We need this way that God leads us to a new life, to a new reservoir of thoughts, of emotions, of will. Our lives and our wills are transformed according to His power. And that's the amazing thing that happens. But it can only happen if we follow this process. And only as we follow this process, only as we are being transformed, then we end up in a place where our love for people is sincere. There's so much talk these days about love. And a lot of it is not credible. A lot of people, even when they hear the words love, they say like, ah, la, la, you know. I was driving through downtown this weekend, and I see that in Piazza Universitetsi, they have this new poster, you know, about, I love Bucharest, you best Bucharest. I don't know exactly who put it there. Yes, we need more people who love the city, more leaders who love the city hall and its workers to act like they love the city. But many people, you know, I wonder how many people go through there like, oh yeah, I really love the city. Yes, I know that our leaders really love us. It's like, oh, it's another marketing tool. It's another slogan, you know. And even in families, even people, you know, in romantic relationships, sometimes they don't believe it. Why? Because often it's not sincere. And if you look at this passage, you know, from Romans 12 to 9, from 9 to 21, you'll see that most of these things have to do with relationship, with the way we treat and interact with others. And it's no surprise, because, you know, Jesus Himself said that the whole prophets and the commandments and the laws comes down to this: loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So how can we have this kind of love? How can we do this, you know? And then it's spelled out for us what it means to have a love that is sincere. You have to depart, hate what is evil. Not just hate it in terms of, oh yeah, I declare hate. I stay away from it. It's not like some people don't like certain foods, you know, if they are allergic. Like, you stay away, you know. It's like, I don't want it even on my plate. I don't even want to look at it, you know. That's kind of how we have to, I don't want that in the menu of my life, what is evil, what is wrong. Cling to what is good. Cling, you know, it's not like, well, you know, if you can, try to. Cling is like, yes, I cling. I want to do what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Devoted. Not like, well, you know, be kind of interested, be connected every once in a while. No, devotion. We know the difference between being interested and being devoted, being around people and being devoted. In families, in couples, we know that. You know, we know when a parent is devoted to his children, dedicated. You know, we see that. And this is what we are asked to be and to do, to be devoted, to one another, not to honor one another above ourselves. Yeah, that's an easy thing to do, right? No, it's not easy from a human point of view, but God is calling us to do this, to not lack in zeal, to serve the Lord, to be joyful, you know, in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, to share with the Lord people who are in need, to serve our brothers and sisters, practice hospitality. You know, we talk so much about hospitality, about being open, but sometimes people say, yeah, I don't feel being hospitable. I don't feel like, well, hospitality is not just for those who are extroverts or for those who feel comfortable talking or sharing with others. It's for all of us. Yes, it's expressed in different ways, but we are all called to practice hospitality, to provide a place for people where they feel our care. But it's not just about practicing hospitality with the Lord's people, with our brothers and sisters. That is hard enough to do. It goes even harder. It goes even further. It makes it even more impossible. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. There are so many things that we don't like around us. There are so many people who are not nice to us. You know, it's how hard to be even neutral towards people. I'm not even talking about being nice or being blessing people or being caring to people. I'm talking about being neutral. It's hard not to develop this icky, bad feelings, you know. It's like this weekend, again, at the bottom of my apartment, you know, there is a place, there is a bank branch there, and they are renovating. And, you know, sometime they start early in the morning and they go all the way till the evening, drilling, and the whole block, you know, resonates from all the drills, from all the noise, from all the hammers, and they don't even stop for the 1 hour when they are legally forced to stop. You know, they just want to do their agenda. It's like, how can you be nice? How can you be neutral? How can you not be negative? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You know, there is so much talk about being nice, empathetic to people, but we see it here in Scripture. We have to rejoice and mourn with people according to their needs, to live in harmony with one another, to be willing to associate ourselves with people of low position. Oh, that's hard. Because we all want to be with the important people. We want to be in the nice crowd, in the nice group. We want to be, you know, like when you're in school or students, they want to be with the cool kids, right? When we are with the neighbors, we want to be invited to the important parties. We want to be known by the who is who's in our business, in our domain, in our field of expertise, right? But we also have to be willing to associate with people of low position, with those who are neglected, discriminated, looked down upon. Because love cannot be choosy. Like, oh yeah, I really like these people to show God's love to, but this other group, yes, God can call different people to have a certain role, a certain function in a certain layer of society, in a certain field. But we have to be willing, I like how it puts here, we have to be willing to associate with people of low position, with people who speak differently, who look differently, who maybe smell differently. We have to be willing to associate and bless them. And it goes further, you know, we have to not repay evil with evil, but we have to be careful to do what's right. And like I said, every time I read this, it's like, oh, how beautiful, but how impossible. You know, and I cannot not read a passage like this without being reminded of the words of Christ who said, people will know that you are my disciples if you have and demonstrate love towards one another. That's what he said in the book of John. That's the mark of true Christianity. You know, there are so many culture wars going on this day in the world, in America, in Europe, in Romania, about what it means to be a Christian and who is the right Christian, based on things like when somebody's baptized or not, on how it is baptized, at what age, and what kind of statement of faith, and what kind of manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and what kind of theology, And I can understand why people debate those things, and I sometimes join in some of those debates. But more importantly, we are called to understand that we have to live a life when we represent the love of God. And when our fruits, when our conduct, when our behavior is representative of what we just read here in Romans, then we are shining for Christ. Then we are that city on a hill that Jesus talked in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mountain. It's not when we declare our traditions. I'm not against traditions. You know, many of them are good, but traditions have to be kept alive through active faith, through active behavior that is representing Christ, not to clinging to things from the past, not just to declaring our adherence to a group that is more important than others. That is not expressing love, empathy, and care for people. We have to be willing to take a position of servant, you know, not be afraid to be perceived as being low people. Because in Christ's economy, in the kingdom, whoever is the lowest becomes the leader, according to the teachings of Jesus. You know, and it goes to the very, like Jesus makes this point through, you know, just like he did in the Sermon on the Mountain about turning your cheek when you are being hit by an enemy and forgiving, going the extra mile, just like that, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is saying things, do not avenge yourself. Do not avenge. I mean, it's such a desire, such a human tendency to make retribution, in the sense to pay it back extra, but with evil. If somebody takes out a tooth, you take out two of his tooth, you know. When somebody says something mean to you, you double down and you are meaner. That's what people do. I often hear how people curse each other in traffic, in lines, at the market, and it's so easy. It's such a, I feel it in me, the desire to avenge, to repay. But the Lord says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Wow. It's amazing what we are called to do and who we are called to be. And we can have two or three options here. We can say something like, oh, this would be nice, but this is not for me. This is not for the average follower of Christ. This is for maybe some people, maybe for those who want to be church leaders, or maybe for those who are in their 70s or 80s, you know, the old saints of the church. That's one option. And you'd be wrong. And I would be wrong if I think something like this, because it's for everyone. The scripture is very clear. Even for young people, you know, like Paul writing to Timothy said, do not let anybody despise you because of your youth. So regardless of age, regardless of time, we are to live like this. Another option for us would be like, yes, we really need to do this. Let's be this. Let's do this. So when we make an effort, and we make our best effort, and we try, but we try in our own strength. We make religious rules, and we make legalistic rules, and we decide all of this, what to do, and especially what not to do. But it doesn't work, because this is about fruit. You'll know them by their fruit, Jesus said. And fruit, they only work, they only give the right fruit if they are connected to the right root, and the root is alive, and it gets the nutrition, it gets its stamina from the ground, and then it manifests, you know, through the branches into the fruits. So, first option would be for us to say, this is not for me to try. This is not for me to live according to. This is not for me to who I'm called to be. The other one is try to be this, to do those kind of things in our own strength, without being connected to the root, without being connected to Christ, without trying through a renewed mind of the Holy Spirit. But the third and right option is this: Christ, thy will be done, not my will. Just like Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew he was about to have the worst moment of his life, not just physical pain and him being spat upon and being cursed and being stripped naked and put on a cross, but he was also going to be separated from the Father for the first and only time in the whole entirety of time. Jesus knew it was going to be hard. He would prefer then, said, if it's possible, I don't want this cup. I don't want this trial. I don't want this separation. I don't want this bitterness. But not my will be done, your will. Just like that, we have to be willing for God to work in us. Even when it's hard, even in our when in our emotions, we may want to avenge ourselves. We may want to pay evil with evil. We may want to not practice hospitality, but practice, you know, pride and practice arrogance and practice selfishness. When we want to cling to what is comfortable instead of clinging to what is good. In all of those, we are to allow Christ to work through us. His transformation to lead us to this life of new thoughts, new ideas, new dynamics. And many people do this, and we go through this process, you know, when we see here that from Christ we have this renewed life, we are part of, in the new body of Christ, but then we get to the new life and we try to have a new conduct, you know, new behavior. But sometime we get overcome. Just like it says here at the very end of Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Sometimes we overcome. After a while of doing the right things, sometimes though we are overcome by evil. And instead of following and instead of trying to do what is right, we kind of go back to experience like this when we go in the vicious circle, when we spiral down. Instead of moving to being more like Christ, the new life, the new behavior, you know, according to the plan of God, we go on a spiral down. We no longer try to follow the precepts, the teachings, the example of Christ, and it happens. And I'm not throwing a stone at anyone, but I know that's often what we do. That's often the reality of our life. And I pray that we'll take an inventory, and that the Holy Spirit will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, so we can understand that if we want to live like this and have a new life that will not go stale, that will not go obsolete, that will not go bored and, you know, lacking credibility, but it will be full of love, full of care, full of grace, then we need to complete this square. We need to go back to the home base, which is Christ. Come back to Christ. And what I mean by it is not just like a slogan, oh, go back to Christ. We have to go back to renewal. We have to ask God, just like David did in Psalm 51, Lord, make my life new again. Because we often, as Christians, we want to do what is right. We want to follow these things, but then life gets to us. The disappointments, the failures, our failures, the failures of others. You know, it's so easy for us to go back instead of staying in this process of renewal, this spiral going up towards like Christ. It's easy for us to be sidetracked, to get again in a vicious circle, to backslide and to go according to the pattern of the world. You know, a week ago, Naomi spoke to us about taking every thought captive, at what it really means in the battle of the mind, to really allow Christ to guide us. And you know, following our thoughts, it's often like, you know, going to the train station. And I don't know how many of you have been at the big Gara de Nord station in Bucharest or other big stations. And there are many platforms, there are many trains going all over the country. I used to ride trains, you know, a lot, you know. I remember even going to Sweden on a 31-hour journey just to Berlin and then changing trains there. And what I mean by that is like, we get on a train and that train is going to get us to a certain destination. And just it's just like that with our thoughts. You know, we try to live life. We try to do what is right as Christians. But then we get on the wrong train. We allow a thought to take root in our hearts, and a thought has power. Thoughts, ideas have consequences. And from if we dwell on those thoughts, if we dwell on those ideas, we end up having certain behaviors and conducts. And that's why often we go to the vicious circle. We go back. We go down. No longer representing the flavor of Christ and his grace. But we end up just operating from our own strength, from our own flesh as human beings, from our own temperament, with all the good things, but even with the icky things and not so good things in our life. And that's why we need this process, complete process. When life throws us a curveball, since we're talking about baseball here a little bit, even though other people are more familiar with soccer, with other sports, basketball, but you get the idea. When we miss the goal, when we miss the mark, we need to keep trying. Keep trying, say, Holy Spirit, take me back to Christ. Because only at the cross I can receive the forgiveness that I need, but also the hope that I need. Only when we go back to Christ, we can have that renewal of hope that will allow us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We cannot do it in our own strength, but in Christ we can do it. If we stay committed to this process, if we take the whole book of Romans, when we are reminded of our state of sin and our shortcoming. And even for those who have followed the Lord for many years, many decades, like it's my case or others, not to take like, oh, I'm somebody. I followed the Lord for 30 years. I know the books. I've done the studies. I've done this. No, it's good that we've done those things, but we have to stay humble. We have to be willing to say, Christ, I need you. Because if I don't have you in a fresh energy, with fresh anointing, a fresh encounter, that I'm not able to live like this. I'm not really able to represent you. I'm not really doing a good job being your ambassador. Because if I don't have the power, the stamina, the love, the grace, the patience, the kindness, I cannot represent you. I cannot live Romans 12. I will be, like it says in Corinthians, I will be an instrument that makes noise, but it's flat. It's not the right noise. It's not beautiful. It's not credible. And it's hard. It's hard to stay committed. That's why, again, it said, we have to be willing to associate with people of low positions. We have to be willing to understand our need for Christ. It's just like Jesus started in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those, you know, who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that we understand we need you. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. And if we do this, then we understand this life. And we can not just understand it mentally, we can live it. Then practicing love, practicing hope, practicing hospitality is not going to be a bridge too far. It's not going to be something that we maybe do every once in a while, but it's going to become who we are. It's going to bring and bear fruit constantly in our lives, in every season, regardless of the times, regardless of weather, regardless of circumstances. This is the model of Christianity. This is how God intended for us to live. There is no plan B. Yes, we often go on a different plan. We go on a different dynamic, but it's not what God intends or wants for us. And that's why we need to come back to the cross. You know, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the only place where we can find good, it's in good himself, in Jesus. You know, for the whole history of humanity, you know, as people say, as philosophers say, people are looking for what is good, for what is true, for what is beautiful. But true, good beauty, it's only found in Christ. And it's not, I'm not just being a pastor who's using a Christian slogan. I'm saying only in him we find enough truth about ourselves. Not just the easy, comfortable truth, but the truth that makes us whole, that heals us. But in him we also have redeeming truth. because he changes us. He puts us on a new spiral, on a new trajectory. And then he empowers us. He fills us with new thoughts, with new feelings, with new ideas. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then we can live like this. We can have that life that is full of love, of sincere love, of credible love. And it is a process. Do not forget that in this process, it's important for us to be in the new body, in the church, giving and receiving what we need, leaning from each other, learning from each other, being with each other, covering each other, all the all alone verses, all the one to another, because that's how the new life of Christ comes to us and grows in us. That's the right model. And it can be hard, but we have a choice. We have the choice of clinging to what is good, overcoming evil with good, or we have the option of clinging to what is comfortable, clinging to what is familiar, clinging to our fears and insecurities because they give us a weird sense of safety, of identity, but it's not the right identity, it's not the right safety. And Jesus being there on the cross, hanging between earth and heaven, between God, he made a way. He chose forgiveness. He embodied each of those things. He showed sincere love. He did not take revenge. He could have taken revenge on the soldiers, on those who were mocking him. He showed kindness even to the thieves who were making fun of him. And his last prayer was, forgive them. Accept them. For my sake, Jesus said to the Father, accept my brothers and sisters. Forgive them. And now we are called to live this new life. Our mission given by God all of a sudden becomes possible. It's not impossible anymore. But now, no longer is us, but it's Christ in us. It's Him living in us. It's Him having more of our thoughts, more of our priorities, more of our hearts, more of our schedule, more of our resources to fulfill His plans, His life in our life, through our life. That's Christianity. That's the credible Christianity that we, you and I and everyone, all of us are called to live, to follow in Christ's footsteps. And without Him is impossible, but with Him, not only that it's possible, it's beautiful, it's amazing. It's what we desire, it's what other people desire. The true sense of community, the true sense of belonging, the true blessing, the true love that we are all in search for. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making this real. I'm not worthy, I'm not credible enough to talk about these things, but you are. And thank you for making all of us partakers of such a new life, a new hope, that we may follow you, Lord Jesus. Make these words real to each and every one of us. Help us to live like this. Help us to choose you, to allow you to transform us, Christ. Help us to really connect with other believers so we can give and receive the new life. Then we can have the new behavior, the new ethics, the new life, the new conduct that you called us to have, representing you to a world that is in darkness, that is in need, that is in hopelessness. But in you, we find the hope, we find the meaning. Enable us, Lord. Remind us. Redirect our thoughts. Take us from our downward spiral, from our vicious circles, from our failures, from our insecurities. Lift our eyes towards you, Lord, and continue to do this good work in us and through us, for your name, for your sake. Thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Amen. So help us, God. Let's do it. Let's live it. Let's allow Christ to live it in us and through us. Amen.